Good morning. It's very interesting. The topic, which is overcoming obstacles, is really, you caught me, I think, when Yoni was talking to me about what we're going to call it. You caught me in the middle of a thought. And when I was writing everything up and I'm coming up with a title, so I want to show you my title. You won't be able to see it, but I'm going to show you the proof that it's there. It first of all says, overcoming struggles. That was the first thought. And then it says, overcoming obstacles. That's where Yoni caught me. And then I finished off with overcoming challenges. And I think they're really the same thing. All these synonyms for what we're actually going through actually helps us understand, I think, how we should really face whatever obstacles in life we actually are facing. If one looks at it as a struggle, then it will come towards us in overcoming that particular problem in a totally different psychological way than if you call something a challenge. And that seems to be what I want to head towards, at least, that if one sees things as challenges to be overcome, then it makes everything that we experience in life much easier automatically. So that's really, I think, a point. I think the Torah doesn't exactly say whether something is a struggle or an obstacle or a challenge, but I think that's overall, if you're talking about emunas nachomim and das nachomim, that's exactly what we're looking at, that my rabbanim always said, look at things as a challenge in life and then overcome. Life seems to be a bit of a struggle. And where does that come from? We often think, right, we've got the Eitz Hadas, you've got the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden. And when Adam eats from that fruit, then all of a sudden history starts. And that is true to a certain extent, but I want to bring out another point that the Kli Yochor seems to bring out, which is quite frightening in some ways, but very instructive in another. He talks about, right at the beginning, when Hashem's creating the great lights and that he's going to put in the sky, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Ma'oros Birki Hashemayim. There should be lights in the heavens, to make the difference between day and night. Now this word ma'orot, which we know means light, Kliyoko says really true, you should look at it in a different way. The word ma'orot is very much aligned to the word aurora, which means to curse, arur. So he says anything that's to do, tachas hazman, he says, anything to do within a time-bound perspective, which I think he really seems to mean, anything to do with the natural world, things like that. He says really and truly, there's a bit of pain associated with that. And this should be very troubling for us, only in one sense. Because, as I've said, we often think that pain should have started, at least with Adam Arishon's eating from the fruit. What's it doing here, right at the beginning of the creation story? So what if, and I'm going to kind of, because we've only got sort of 15 minutes, jump to kind of ideas that will springboard us to the future, is that I think, as far as I understand what's really happening, is that when Adam Arishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, everything became much harder. Things existed. The Rishonim, when it talks about La'ovda Ula Shomra, there it has a different explanation of the Bavli. The Bavli says to do with positive mitzvahs and negative mitzvahs, but La'ovda Ula Shomra, you actually have to work the garden. You actually have to guard it and prune it and all the things that gardeners do. And only then, says the Rishonim, can Adam Arishon eat. The difference was, when he planted, it grew so beautifully. There's no aphids flying around, there's no little bugs coming. Everything becomes a very easy life. And perhaps that's still what was happening in this Ma'arot stage. Things can be painful. You've got to raise children, but the moment you raise them, it's very easy. You say to him, darling, don't do that. The kid decides, I'm not going to do that. That's a very easy way to raise children when things go so and so smoothly. What seemed to have happened at the time when Adam Arishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, things became more difficult. Kotz v'dardar tatzmiachot. And there, on that, thorns and thistles will grow for you. So there Rav Hirsch has a very interesting explanation. He says, thorns, I think he doesn't actually say it's a metaphor, but when you read Rav Hirsch, it seems to be automatic, that's what's happening. There's two aspects to life. There's a thorn aspect, and there is a burr aspect. Thorns, when you try and grab this beautiful rose, it keeps you away from it. And burrs stick to you when you throw them, like we did as kids. You throw them like tiny green burrs and they stick to your jacket. So he says like this, things that you want are very, very difficult to grab hold of. But things that you don't want tend to stick to you. And that's what's really happening in life after the Eitz Hadas. When you plant something, it's going to be very, very difficult to grow. Thorns and thistles are going to grow. You have to work hard to weed your garden. And weeding your garden is exactly a metaphor for life itself. It's going to get a bit harder. And from here and other places, we learn this wonderful phrase, Kol Hatchalot Kashot. All beginnings are difficult. They have to be difficult because of what's now happening in the world. You have to overcome. But once you've got over that initial inertia phase, then things can pick up. And where everybody agrees that we differ from other religions necessarily is that when Hashem cursed the land, the snake, whatever it happens to be, in childbirth, you should give thanks. He says that curse is a challenge. That is not embedded in the world itself as a fact. That's the starting point. Now you have to overcome that. So all Rav Hirsch on this verse discusses that as well. Raising children is difficult. But nevertheless, all beginnings are difficult. But life is there to be overcome. Odom lo'olmol yulat. Man was made to work. Was born to work. Excuse me. That's the point. Man was born to work. It says born to work, but not necessarily as he's growing up to work. At the beginning, things are difficult. You have to work hard. But as you put your business into gear, then okay, the first few years you've got to make a little bit of loss, and then you make money, and then please God you make more. That's the way of life. So that's what's really happening over here. Right at the beginning. Avraham has 10 trials. Now we want to speak about Avraham's 10 trials and debts. But number one, it's interesting to me. Why did Avraham have 10 trials and Yitzhak and Yaakov didn't? That always bothered me. But the key to one of the trials is that Rashi also brings this beautiful midrash. He says nothing cannot be overcome. Hashem never gives you trials that we ourselves cannot withstand. And he gives the example of a merchant throwing up cups and crockery in the air. And I actually remember this. I used to go down to the East End to Bell Lane, and then you see all. I don't know if they're still there doing it, but they've been there for years. They throw up all the cups and they catch it. It's all the big thing. See how good my cups are. Only £2 for everybody. So there you see that the cups, the man who throws up the cups would never do it if he would know it would break. And Hashem's the same with us. We don't get any of these challenges in life that we ourselves cannot overcome. As you go through Tanakh a little bit, so you've got this wonderful big, big problem that Yaakov Avinu is faced with, in which he is very, very frightened of Esau and how he's going to combat him. He sends messengers to Esau, he divides his camp, he pleads to Hashem to help him, he does all these things. He's trying to bribe Esau with gifts. At various stages, he's trying to overcome this fear that he has, this fear of confrontation. And finally, he manages to do that with the help of the Ish, of the man that he fights, this man, angel figure. And they fight all night. And it's a very, very deep psychological battle. Whether this angel is a real angel, whether this angel is a psychological manifestation of his own psyche, whatever the aspect is, he comes out of that night with a new I don't know whether it's joie de vivre, so to speak, but at least it's in that kind of direction. He's able to face Esau, and he starts bowing down to him, but everything comes very smoothly. He's not afraid anymore. And he changes his plan all through the night, that previous night, and even, I think, changes the plan after he fights the Malach. And from that position, we have this whole concept of not eating Gid HaNoshi. You don't eat that little sinew on the thigh bone, and that is a memory of struggle of Yaakov, but it's a memory of struggle and overcoming challenges in general as well. The Midrash and discuss all these things, and the Shlo, Shnei Luchos HaBris, Rabbi Isaiah Horovitz, he also discusses what this aspect of fighting the angel is. He says something quite amazing, which I think fits in with this whole concept of life being a little bit difficult. He says, really and truly, he says, every day there's things going on, and Yaakov as well had things going on in his life. But we only find with Yaakov one mitzvah, which is this Gid HaNoshe. And as he fought the Gid HaNoshe and he fought the Malach, he gets a bit weakened by the struggle. What about the day in the year of struggle and challenge. He says that's the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 9th of Av, and therefore all the bad things tend to happen to us on the 9th of Av. Everything's sort of focused on that point. The Meforashim explain that in fact every day has its own negative mitzvah, and the negative mitzvah that corresponds to the 9th of Av is don't eat the Gid HaNoshe. Because these two things are combined, we all have to overcome whatever's going on. And again, in 30 seconds, says that on Tisha B'Av, Nolad Moshiach. Not Yivole, not he will be born. On Tisha B'Av, Nolad. On Tisha B'Av, he was born. From the very ashes of despair grow the roses of success. I suppose that's the idea. Already in the depths of despair, that's where the start to go on a good path comes. It's all an obstacle to overcome. It's all a challenge to overcome. So he carries on over here and he says, you know, when there are in fact 365 malachim appointed over each day, and these malachim are very, very hard, tough malachim. They all represent the 365 days of the year, which I suspect, as I said, means that every day can be a little bit tough. But Samael, the bad angel, so to speak, Hakoshe Mekulam, which is harder than all of them, who Gid HaNoshe? He represents the Gid HaNoshe. So we have this idea that everything's combined. The 9th of Av can be the worst, but nevertheless, they are aspects of life to overcome. Just as to leave us on a good note on that passage, is that, what was the name of the angel, by the way? There are many explanations of the name of the angel. I only want to give one for the moment. The name of the angel was Yisrael. Lama Zed Tishal Lishmi, I've got a whole midi gematria, adds up to 1198. And then there's a verse in the Torah which says, forget the Vov, by the way, Kael Shakai Yitain Lochem Rakami. Hashem, the Mighty One, will give to you mercy. And those initial letters, it's an acronym of Yisrael. And that's what the Malach was called. The Malach was called Yisrael. He gave him a name that his own name. Why? Because this Malach that he fought, whether it was, and I think it's all the same pshat, whether it is the evil angel Samael, at the same time his name's Yisrael. I think. Why? Because the whole point of life is to overcome the trials and tribulations that exist. And therefore, how better can you overcome them? By fighting something which is called the Sorrow Shel Esau. At the same time, the name of the angel is Yisrael, which is an acronym of Hashem will give you mercy. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for an Esau, but it comes through a little bit of pain and struggle. No pain, no gain. I think it's exactly what it's trying to say. I've tried to just give you kind of big ideas. What about the smaller ideas? Yeah, smaller ideas. Smaller idea is the following: it's a Gemara in the Dorim that says there was a very ugly girl, and a guy turned around and said, "I don't want to marry her. She's very ugly." Turned out she was absolutely beautiful. It says you don't need to matir and undo this particular vow if he promised not to marry her, because he made a big mistake. He thought she was ugly, he'd never seen that, but she was pretty. What about if Tucker, he said she was ugly. He said, you know, ugly girl, I've seen her, I never want to marry her. And he makes a neder. It's interesting, he says, Reb Yishmael came along and he gave her a makeover. And the makeover he gave her turned her into a lovely, beautiful looking woman. He said, if I would have known she does up this well, I would never have made that neder vow. So he says, yes, I can undo the vow for you. I bring that particular story to show that even minimal things, I don't know if that's the most minimum you can get, but it's not only big things in life, but minimal things in life, where they are challenges in life, the Rabbonim were very, very practical. Nobody turned around and says, listen, Sam, you don't know, beauty is only skin deep. Look at things in a practical way, try and fix them, which is exactly what Yerushalayim did. And he overcame that challenge for that young man. And please God, I hope that they had a very nice life together, which we're going to talk about, but I'm sure they probably did. And please God, we should all overcome the challenges in our life. Yeah. Good.